meet not just with one another, but to meet with the Lord. And our opening scripture is Isaiah. I read a few selected verses. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that Isaiah the prophet delivered so long ago that we can still attach our own lives to today. That we can come just as we are, baggage and all. Lord, we haven't left it at the door. We've brought it here because we know that you can help us. Just as we are, we have come into your presence today. Whether we are thirsty, whether we are hungry, whether we're in the depths of the valleys or on the top of the mountains in our lives, we acknowledge that often our thoughts are not your thoughts and neither our ways your ways, but we long them to be. We long that we might have a closer walk with you, that we might have more awareness of your presence in your life and in our lives. Oh, Heavenly Father, wouldst you come amongst us by the power of your Spirit and show us your way and heal the hurts and the wounds and empower us to move forwards from this place, knowing you are able to do exceeding abundantly more than we can even ask or think. So we gather here today to meet with a holy God, awesome in power, beyond our imaginings, and we praise you, we worship you. We seek to draw near to you and we seek your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand if you're able to sing together. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty.
Song shall rise to thee.
We acknowledge your greatness, Heavenly Father. We acknowledge your holiness. We acknowledge how awesome and wonderful you are. And as we acknowledge that, we are so much more aware of our own sinfulness, our own failures. And as that song reminded us, the darkness hides thee, the eye of sinful man, so often thy glory cannot see. And we pray in this place that you might enlighten us, that you might open our eyes, that you might forgive us for those wrongs we have done, for those thoughts, for those actions, and for those words, that we might see a glimpse of your glory, that the darkness may not hide thee from us as we seek thy presence and seek thy face today. Father, forgive us and help us to forgive. Have mercy upon us. You've given us so, so much. And as we shortly gather around the Lord's table to reflect and remember what our salvation cost us, we are also so much more aware of your wonderful love for us, messes and all. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to live amongst men, to show us the glory of God, to show us more of the kingdom of heaven, to show us a way to live, to give us a target to aim for, and yet we fall so, so short so often. And you don't stop loving us. How fantastic is that? That you're always there, you're always available. Oh, how may we learn from your example day by day. Would you help us and encourage us as we bring you our thanks and our praise today in this place. We bring our prayers to the Heavenly Father in the name of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What gift of grace is Jesus, our Redeemer. You're able.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. You hinted more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom. In him endless peace. To this I and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing. But through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? So we gather around the Lord's table as we reflect on our redemption and give thanks for these emblems before us that show us and reflect the glory of the simplicity of the gospel message. So I can't remember now, was it Darren? Are you going to give thanks and pray for the bread and wine before us? And someone else going to come and join me? Caroline, who was it? Paul, lovely. Bless you. Thank you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Should be that way a bit.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our salvation. As we partake in this Holy Communion, we remember his sacrifice and the love that he poured out on us. We are grateful for the bread that represents his body and the cup that represents his blood. May this meal nourish our souls and strengthen our faith and stir up the Holy Spirit in a way that we've not seen before. We reflect on the great commission that Jesus gave us in the week leading up to his crucifixion when he quoted in Matthew 28, where Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations. Help us to accomplish this shaping of our lives with the purpose that you intended, achieved by worshipping you, achieved through our fellowship with one another, achieved by our discipleship and the commitment to spiritual growth, and achieved by our ministry in serving, and achieved by our witness in sharing our experiences on how you've been changed by God. By living and following these purposes, we seek to honour you, and that our lives will beam your love to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Paul writing says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." Let's just pause as we bring our own confessions to the Lord in prayer before we share this meal together. Cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Put thy power within, Lord. Take me as I am, Lord, and make me all thine own. Teach me, keep me day by day, Lord, underneath thy sway, Lord. Make my heart thy palace and thy royal throne, we pray. Amen. So having broken the bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. We'll eat the bread as we receive it. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Exactly. Thank you. In the same manner also he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And I always think it's lovely in Baptist circles in particular, where we keep these little cups and drink them together, where we are reminded that yes, we walk with Christ one-on-one, but also he's put us as part of a family, and we are the family of God. So hang on to the little cups and let's drink together, reminding us of that wonderful gift to be part of family. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Glory to his name. Amen. Let's continue in our prayers together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the meal we've just shared that unifies us together under one banner, all one in Christ Jesus. We thank you as a small family here that we are, yes, family, but we're also part of a great bigger family around the whole world. Many of our brothers and sisters do not have an easy time as we do in this country, where standing up for their faith could mean imprisonment, torture, and even death. So we remember our brothers and sisters in difficult and dangerous places. Pray that they might be aware of your presence and your strength and your peace, that they might be kept faithful through the difficult days they have. They might know your power, and that through their suffering, your name might be glorified as they seek to serve you where you have called them. We also pray for men and women and boys and girls in our own country who have difficult things to face over the days of the coming weeks and months, where life has not worked out as they had planned. There may be financial difficulties or illness or family difficulties. Lord, you know each one. And we particularly pray for those near and dear to us. And in our minds, we think of individuals as part of this fellowship or just part of our own social networks who we would bring to you in prayer around the throne of grace today. We thank you, God, for each one and the relationships that we have with them, and pray that you'd help us to witness and share your love as you have called us to serve you in the communities that you've placed us in. Then we would pray for ourselves here in this place today. Perhaps some sitting here with their church face and others open-hearted. We can't tell the difference, Lord, but you can. And you know our deepest need. Whether full of joy or full of sorrow, we pray that you would meet that need in this place today, that we might go on our way rejoicing in a closer walk with you, having encountered the Spirit of God in a special and more powerful way today, knowing your power and your presence and your enabling to face whatever lies ahead. And that our story then might be a testimony to our faith in Jesus. So we bring all to thee, our friends and loved ones, the big world stage and the smallest things that we perhaps think, well, nobody even knows. You know it all. And we bring all to thee, praying that your will might be done here upon earth as it is in heaven, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I know I'm having a turnaround now, aren't I? I'm changing things. Can we continue our worship with the offering at this point? Sorry. That's messed you all about, ladies, but whatever you were going to play, because I'm going to switch screens. So we could have our offering now, please. Thank you. Is it a hat? Thank you. Bless you. So let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that all we have is on trust from thee, and we are grateful for all you give to us. We now pray that you'd accept this monetary gift. We ask that you'd accept our time and our talents and our love and use all for your glory and bless it and multiply it, that this work might prosper under your guidance to the glory of your holy name. Amen. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, you know that one? And hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. For those of you with a back to us, I've got a picture. I just realised that. You don't even realise I was doing that, did you? Everyone else was looking. Only a couple. I've had a holiday a little while ago now, but I thought I'd bring a couple of snaps because that was one of the songs that I often used to sing, still do when I'm out walking. You can't help it. You see scenery like this. And when from lofty mountains, what's the next line? When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Shall we do it? Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you, that was amazing, harmonizing. This is Keswick, if you've never, are not aware of it, some of you might be. And right down here in this little corner, I don't know whether the pointy thing will work, this little white blob at this corner there, is the big tent that they have for the Keswick Convention, which is where I was at the beginning of the month of July. And this is my second home, really. I love going to the Lake District. Those that are walkers, that's Cat Bell's Range over to, and you go over Maidmore to Honister. And that day I was up Latrig over the other side, so I wasn't that high, but you see that stunning beauty and you think, I just think, wow, melts my heart. And it's very much a bit of a become a pilgrimage for me to go up to the hills. We all have down days and high days and holidays, but just to get out in the countryside. And I was having a bit of a, I'd had a bad night the night before, and you ever had these dreams and you're like, why? I don't generally dream, but I woke up on this particular morning and I thought to myself, I was kind of a bit, and I realised the dreams, they weren't awful dreams as such, but they were real. And that is actually what my life is like right now. And I took myself off into the hills. I was out in the hills all day, and I walked around that bit that you can see there. But my special place was by the brook. And so this is a theme really for me at the moment, and which is why we're going to sing our next song. Because this song, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. I very much had a watery theme that day. I walked about 20 miles all in all, but at least 45 minutes I sat by a brook and I really felt God speaking to me. And the amazing thing was as well, there's so many things. This song came to me amongst others. And when I walked in the tent of the Keswick Convention in the evening service, where there were 3,500 people, guess what they were singing? And guess what line they were on? The line all about the stream as well. And I was like, okay, God, I've got the message. So if you'd join with me and sing this, I'm sorry I haven't made the words as big, but I wasn't sure how to work the two together. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, and he says that to us, but how often do we take notice of it? I've known this song since I was this big, and yet I needed to get out in the hills and actually take that time to allow him and listen to him and apply it to my life. So let's have a go at singing this oldie. Thank you.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down the weary one, lay down thy head. refreshed, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, on this dark world's light, look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. Light of life, I'll walk till travelling days are done.
So I ask you a question. Where do you get your sustenance? Where do you get your strength? I would have said, well, I get it from Jesus, and we probably all would say that, but actually, sometimes, do you really drink it in, and does it really transform your life? And where do you go when you are struggling with life? Where do you feel you can go? Who can you talk to? Where do you go and share? And I came across, I've got two stories for you this morning. I haven't put the readings up there because I want to kind of dip through the stories and share as we go rather than just read it as a scripture. The first story comes from a book in the Old Testament and the other in the New. And this, I don't even remember spotting this before. It's about a lady called Zeresh. Anybody heard of Zeresh? Oh, I'm not the only one then, because I hadn't either. But I love to study some of these more unusual, obscure characters in the Bible. And I'll read a few verses to you, and then see if anybody can work out where I am. Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. Calling together his friends and his wife, Zeresh, Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. And that's not all, he said. I'm the only person the queen invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction, as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate. His wife, Zeresh, and all his friends said to him, have a gallows built 70 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy. What kind of world were they living in? And this suggestion, it says, delighted Haman, and he had the gallows built. What's going on here? Here's a guy, it starts off at the beginning of the story, he's had a fantastic, happy day, then somebody he meets doesn't do something that he likes, and the next thing, thanks to the advice of his wife and friends, builds gallows to have this guy. What world are we living in? Do we know any of these characters? Do you know which world I'm in at the moment? Haman, Mordecai? Esther, there we go, we found it, well done. It's the book of Esther, and that was at the end of chapter 5. And they had been to this great banquet where Esther had introduced these people together to. She wanted to tell them and warn them and help her people because of Haman, he had got the king to issue a decree that all the Jewish nation, all the Jewish people, were going to be destroyed. And Esther, the queen, who was Jewish, had laid on her heart to do something about it. Oh boy, that's always a tough one, isn't it? You know when you're in a difficult spot and God says, well, you do it. And you're like, what, me? And that's where Esther was. And she had decided that she'd honour God and his word, and she stepped out and had these guys round for a party. But she didn't tell them the first day. She told them later on what the problem was. And this guy Haman was on such a high and then on such a low. And I thought to myself, was she a good wife? Zeresh was Haman's wife. That wasn't really the good counsel, was it? If she was meeting this person, it's like there must have been another solution other than building a gallows. The story goes on. That night, the king couldn't sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought and read to him. And it was found there that Mordecai had exposed a couple of treacheries, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers, who were going to try and assassinate him. What honour and recognition had we given to Mordecai, said the king, after his dream? Oh, nothing, they said. Now, the king said, after all of this, dreaming, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he'd built after the advice of his wife. And his attendants answered, oh, Haman's here. Bring him in, the king said. And he asks for Haman's advice. So again, he's seeking sustenance and support and encouragement from somebody. And the king's gone to Haman. And this is what Haman says. The king's question was, what should I do to honour somebody in my land? Haman thinks, oh, that's me. He's going to do something for me. He's going to do something for me. After all, I've been to the party. And here he comes out with his answer. Well, what should we do? Who is there that the king could honour rather than me? He says. The man the king delights to honour, have him bring a royal robe that the king has worn and a horse that the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head, and let him ride through the town, through the streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights. Haman was on such a high. You know the story, some of you, don't you? Because at once the king says, go at once. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai. Oh my goodness. So we got a bit of, oh my goodness. What was Haman going to do? He rushed off home, of course, with his head covered in grief and told his wife. And away they go. So I just pick in that story. If you want to read the details, it is the book of Esther. This is in chapters 5 and 6. And Zeresh had added fuel to the fire. I got a couple of pictures there. When there are problems around, does the advice you get soothe the situation or make it worse? Zeresh had added fuel to the fire. She'd put oil on it, really, hadn't she? And got the gallows built and all of this and really wound her husband up to get some action. But then as the things unfold, the end of the story, do you know the end of the story? What happens to Haman? He ends up on his own gallows, doesn't he? Only because he'd got the wrong advice. If he hadn't built them in the first place, who knows, it might have been different. And Mordecai was eventually the one that was honoured. So I've written down here, how do you console an angry partner or a friend after a frustrating day? Zeresh added fuel to the fire. If we only ever let our emotions guide us, we make rash decisions and disastrous conclusions can so easily be reached, potentially with devastating consequences. Where do you go for sustenance? Where do you go for that encouragement, for that understanding ear, for that empowerment? Do you find friends who put oil on the fire or water on the fire and help us to witness and to love and to share the love of God around us? So we have this cafe. My first lady in the story is Zeresh, someone you've probably never heard of before. I hadn't heard of her before. And there I was. I thought, wow, this lady, and she's mentioned, and she's encouraged in a sense. Her husband has ended up on the gallows as a result of her advice. So be careful where you go for advice. The other question I had for you today is, when do you go for sustenance? And this is one of my problems. I tend to plough on and on and on until I'm thinking, help. Nobody else here that does that sort of thing? And God tells us to walk with him constantly, to pray continually with him. And I've got a few more pictures here now, because this was my holiday things. The Keswick Convention is 150 years old this year. And I had a shock because I remembered that I was there for the hundreds. And I wasn't a baby. It was the first year my parents took us. And so this is, again, how time moves on. And so I thought you might be amused at a couple of these. You are friends, after all, aren't you? This was me in 100 years, no, in the 100th anniversary. And so this year I went to find these spots. This is Tarnhouse, and I managed to find the same rock. So this is 50 years on, the same spot. And I then found a stranger to take my picture, and yeah, I've changed a bit, so we'll take that one off. But you see, some things don't change, do they? The rock was still there, the trees are a bit bigger, but it's the same place. God doesn't change. We do. And there was only one other picture, because, of course, in those days it was slides, not click, click, click with digital camera. And this was now, Ashness Bridge, and it was then. It hasn't changed an awful lot, but there's a little girl there with her dad. First time that we'd seen this site. And I was thinking, it's changed. How many times over the last 50 years? We go to Keswick once a year. Do you get top-ups with God on a Sunday and then ignore him for the rest of the week? You know, this is the way a lot of people live. How often do we go for sustenance? Where do we go? What do I got next? So there's my walk around the hills again. The other lady I wanted to talk to you about, I'm not very good with the tech, so I'm just trying to think what I was going to do next. We went for a walk. What did I do? Went for a walk. I've already shown you that picture, and the walk I took showed me this beautiful view as well, which is backwards to where the other picture was taken. And we've got pictures of those. Over the years, it doesn't change. That's what I'm trying to get across here. There are certain things that don't change. And God doesn't. He's so faithful and so encouraging. And yet, how often do we miss out on things that are so close by that we just didn't see them? Because I did a walk this year that I'd never done before. And it was, instead of going along the ridge of the top of the mountain, I went round the back. And up, I still went up and over and saw the same view. And I came to this. And this was my little spot where I had my God encounter today, the Lake District. And it just stuck me. It was so moving. I was sitting next to this waterfall, and I heard God's, it wasn't an audible voice, but I had the words come to me, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And I didn't feel joyful. I felt tearful. I felt sad. I felt lonely. I felt, ugh. And yet this, I don't feel joyful. Why don't I feel joyful anymore? That little girl in that picture, beaming. Where is she gone? And do you know what that line comes from? Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. It took me a long time on that walk, but I got the rest of it eventually. It's all the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? And he has been my guide. I mean, that 50 years on, and I'm thinking, God hasn't changed, and yet my life has gone up and down and up and down. And he's the constant force. Do you really know this constancy of him throughout your life? And I felt this presence that I'd never really felt before. And it just reminded me of another lady in the Bible who met Jesus in a watery situation. And this time we don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. She was on her own. She was doing her job. She was plodding along in life. And she was finding things tough, because she was living with a bloke now that wasn't her husband, but she'd already had a load of other husbands, and she was looking for sustenance and support in all the wrong places. And there she is, on what should be a social time of life, of her day, carrying her water jar to the well on her own, because all the other women didn't want anything to do with her. You know where I'm going, don't you? There was a woman at the well who was seeking for things that didn't satisfy. And she had an encounter, and you find this story in John's Gospel, chapter 4. And in John's Gospel, chapter 4, we read about a Samaritan woman who came to the well to draw some water. And there's a song also that I know from years ago that says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that didn't satisfy. And I didn't really know I was. I wasn't consciously looking for things that didn't satisfy. But I wasn't looking for God as much as I used to. I knew he was there. I knew he would help. but I wasn't taking that time to really spend and absorb him into my life. And this woman, let's pick up the story in John's chapter 4. It says, I thought something quite amazing. It says, Jesus, in verse 6 of John 4, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. Hang on a minute. Jesus, tired? You don't kind of think of him in that situation, do you? But it says Jesus was tired from the journey and he sat down by the well. And then I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. You read a bit later on, the disciples have gone to get food. So was he tired of them? Nap, 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 all the way along the journey. And it's like, oh, at last I'm on my own. But we know the humanness of him. Jesus, it says, was tired from the journey. It also says earlier on in that chapter that he had an appointment. He had to go to Samaria because he had this appointment. He knew there was a woman that was all on her own who needed sustenance. And so this woman comes and we have an encounter by an unnamed lady. It says she came to draw water, verse 7, and Jesus says, can you give me a drink? What would your answer be if someone asked you for a drink? I'll guarantee it won't be the answer she got from Jesus got from this lady. What did she say? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You've got long hair and I haven't. You're wearing a skirt and I'm wearing trousers. I mean, you could say anything, but what a response when someone just says, can I have a drink? She had a barrier in her life that she couldn't get over. There was a difference there in the people. She immediately saw a barrier between her and this Jewish person. And Jesus had to deal with this. It says, Jews don't associate with Samaritans. How sad. And Jesus answers her, if you knew, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. He doesn't have an argument about the differences. He doesn't highlight the barriers. He just says, I've got more to offer than you could ever imagine. Look above, refocus. There's more on offer here. He knows all about her. Verse 13, it starts saying, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Ah, now she's interested. She wants this water so she doesn't have to keep coming to the well. And we have an amazing conversation now where Jesus gets to the bottom of her problem. Go and get your husband. Haven't got a husband. I know you haven't got a husband. The one you live with's not yours and you've had a load of others. A real let's get down to the nitty gritty of what's going on in your life. And verses 16 to 18, they have this lovely conversation where Jesus helps her to acknowledge just where she is and then get his perspective on it. You see, Jesus can't help us if we're not honest with ourselves. Jesus can't help us if we don't invite him into the situations. Jesus can't help us if we don't let him get right to the depths and the deep parts of our problem. But he can help us if we trust his agenda and know that his thoughts are not our thoughts. But they can be. We don't know what's round the bend, but he does. We don't know how to deal with certain things in our life, but he does. And often, our agenda, do you believe me, it's not right. Have you ever had to acknowledge that you've got your own ideas, but actually, I was wrong. My agenda was not right. Haman went to his wife and got the wrong advice. He should have consulted God. The way of God's people is to love one another. The way of God's people is when we're thirsty, we should turn to him. But we need to acknowledge where we are at and trust his agenda and trust his perspective. And then he can sustain us. So what's this got to do with my holiday? Well, you see, you say, well, she's out preaching every week. She's reading the word. But it's only when you really apply God's word that it can really make a difference. And yeah, I guess I suppose standing here, yeah, I'd say apply it. But sometimes, do you get overwhelmed? You're like, why, God says this, and God says that, and God says that. The worship at Keswick was fantastic. 3,500 people singing praises. It was wonderful. And a big high, but then you walk out of the tent and you're on your own, aren't you? You know, you walk out of church, you face Monday. Look out, Monday's coming. And it's a whole 7 days before you get back to Sunday again to meet with the family of God and to praise together. God wants to be part of those intimate moments too. And so I had this picture of a waterfall drenching me with the power of God. But I was still thirsty. Do you ever feel like that? You know God's there, but you're still thirsty. There's something in your heart. And the picture went on to really just say to me, but you're not taking me in. You're absorbing me. You're being like a sponge, but you're not getting in the middle. You know, have you ever done flowers in a bit of oasis? And if you don't really soak the oasis, the middle doesn't get wet, only the outside. You've got to let it go right through your whole being. Whenever you're thirsty, come to Jesus and empty yourself of self, and then he really can fill you up right from the core. This woman, as the disciples returned, we find that she then leaves her water jar, she leaves all her troubles with Jesus, and heads off into town and becomes one of the first evangelists. She says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And she says it in a way, not, oh boy, come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. She had encountered God personally. Could he be the Christ? And they came to see Jesus. They came to find out from themselves. And I love the end of this story for this unnamed woman. In verse 39 of John 4, we read, many of the Samaritans from that town believed because of the woman's testimony. She just told him her story. What was her story? He told me everything I ever did. Do we share our story? When the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, more became believers. And then they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. Where do you go for your sustenance? Be careful who you seek advice from. When do you go? Let's seek the Lord while he might be found and call upon him while he is near, as Isaiah wrote. Come to me. Come to God, those who are thirsty. Go to the source, the living source. That picture, if I was standing on the top of Catbells and had a rock and went like that, it would have landed in that stream. And yet for the last 50 years, I didn't know it was there. How close can you get to Jesus and not get this power? So come with me for a moment to the waterfall and sense God's presence today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know where we seek advice from. You know how we get sustenance. And you know how frequently we try and do things in our own strength and then cry out, God, where are you? Why have you let this happen? We have our own agendas. We have our own objectives. And we pray now, Lord, that you would help us to find your agenda for our lives. That you'd help us to see the world from your perspective, and you'd help us to drink in your power and not just be drenched on the outside. Jesus said that if we thirst, we should come to him. And so we do right now. We come to you, Lord Jesus, to quench our thirst today. Amen. Jesus still gives water that is not in the well. And the musicians are getting ready, but I've got another song. Are you all right for a few minutes? Can I share a song on here before we do that one? This was another one. God is just so amazing. I mean, how all this happened in the same day. You think, okay, I get the message now. Not only did I walk into the tent that evening and they were singing the other song, we sang this new one. And I'm not expecting you to learn it. You might want to just listen to it, but it's quite an easy tune to pick up. And it starts off by simply saying, Jesus said that if you thirst, come to me. So I'll play it through and join in if you're able, or just enjoy the words. So, Lord Jesus, we run to thee, for you are strong and kind, you are good and faithful, you never change. Forgive us, Lord, for so often we do just struggle on our own. But now, Lord, we acknowledge your greatness, we acknowledge your wonder. We thank you for those times of drenching when we do come to church and we do encounter your Spirit. But we now personally would say, fill my cup, Lord, on the inside and lift us up, that in your strength we might move forwards with your agenda and your thoughts, giving you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we will sing with the music group again. And the song that I've chosen is the one you've got, Seth. So I need to press the button on here, don't I? Back. Well, in your time. Am I pressing HDMI 1? Yes. Is there a manual option? Pressing it. Is there a manual choice? If I just unplug mine, will that work? I won't have a choice then, will it? Doesn't like number one anymore. Oh, there we go, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So, in response, we pray our final song here to sing, "Let your living water flow over my soul." Let's sing together. Thanks, Paul. be seated for a moment. There are some more words. We won't sing the last song. We're going to just read them as a prayer. But I brought this mug as my final illustration, and I will still use it. Maybe some of you need to take a lesson from this, as I did when I was in Keswick. Because no matter what I do on the outside of this mug, it won't make a blind bit of difference. But if you put the right thing on the inside, that right thing being Jesus and his love, there's an old little chorus that says, Jesus gave her water that was not in the well. She went away singing. She came back bringing others for the water that was not in the well. Jesus still gives water that is not in the well to all who come believing and his word receiving. He'll give the heavenly water that is not in the well. And the words on this mug simply say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our final prayer are the words, let's read together. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. And so we share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.